The lesson continues. One of the most amazing things is God's Word is so sufficient, all-inclusive, straightforward, fun, detailed, life-changing, encouraging, producing hope, and it's all found here, and you've got a record of it. I'd like for us to kind of just jump into Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, we're going to be looking, I'd like to read three verses for us to kind of feature our attention on just for the moment. Scripture says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb in the field had grown, for the Lord God hath not caused it to rain on the earth. And there was no rain till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And it's on. Man became. Well, let's begin to think about how God placed Adam and Eve into the garden. But let's ask some questions, okay? Not letting you off the hook this early. For whom did God prepare the world? That's right, for mankind, for people. God created this world, put you here. Well, who were talking together when God said, "Let us make man"? Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How did God make man? Got it. Out of the dust of the earth, God made man. What does it mean that God created man in his image? He created him with mind, emotion, volition, or choice. So we are like God in this capacity that we can be much like God. What responsibility did God give Adam and Eve? Take care of it. Take care of the garden. Well, y'all passed the test this morning, so we'll continue on with our lesson as we hit this next slide there, because when God made the heavens and the earth, verse 31, let's capture that in the Word. And why do I put it on the screen and also ask you to read it out of the Bible? Two things. One is you can see better looking right there in front of you in the Word. Number two is God can speak to you specifically. Many of you will gather together this morning, and before this 30, 45 minutes is up, God will speak to you. Many times it jumps at you out of the Word when you read it. Some people like to underline it. Some people put notes in the margin. Whatever it takes for you to fall in love with Jesus Christ and make this thing happen. Because when God made this, the Scripture says in verse 31, "Then God saw that everything He had made, and indeed it was what? Very good. Very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Everything that God made. Can you imagine this perfect world right here? No struggles, no storms, no tornado warnings. Did y'all have enough of those this week? No death, no sorrow, no siren. I mean, it was pretty neat. And God made this beautiful world. And He took Adam and Eve and He put them in it. He even made a special place. Next slide. Because in this, we really boil it down to this. Do you believe it? Now, I've got to ask you just point blank. Do you believe? Because you see, in Hebrews chapter 11, I'll read it off the screen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of the things which are visible. What does that mean, Jeremy? Exactly. You don't have to see it to believe it. God made something out of nothing. That's the truth. But it does boil down to this. Do you believe? You really got to reach that point, because there are going to be a lot of people who are going to challenge your thoughts in different structures, different parts of the world, in the school system, different things are going to be taught. But you've got to come to that point where you say, who am I going to believe? Who am I going to believe? God said, here is what we read a while ago. This is the history. And that word history, remember we said this is His story. Next slide. Because when we see this, the Scripture says that God finished the creation. Now, He finished the work, the heavens and the earth. And how beautiful is it? Y'all remember, can you visualize some of these pictures in your mind right now about the planets? About the seeds, about the animals, the beautiful flowers, the smoky mountains. Okay. All right. Can you visualize some of those very, very special things? God made this all, and He made it from the host. God finished it. Do you like that word finished? That's right. It was complete. Next slide. Because God also remained involved. Now, when God finished the work of creation, we also understand, did God just finish you and leave you alone and quit and say, okay, but you're on your own? What about it, Marissa? Did God create you and just say, you're on your own now? No, He did not. God didn't do that, did He? God has stayed involved with mankind from day one. He's with you. And so, therefore, we see that not only did He finish creation, but He also finished redemption. Remember the words of Jesus when He was on the cross. After He took the wine, Jesus said, what? That's right. And when He said it's finished, what does that mean? Let's just put it like this. Okay. All right. Who wants to be that very special person today? Okay, Michelle, you're that very special person today. Now, here we're going to do, Michelle. I just say I was a carpenter like Arnie, okay? And I made you this real beautiful cabinet out of cherry wood. It is gorgeous, down to the very last detail. And I mean, it's the wood is just perfect. Glass and all in there, shining, and it's perfect. And I said to you, Michelle, it's finished. Here's the gift. What would you do? You say, thank you. But you know what Michelle might do? She might say thank you and bring out the sandpaper. I'd say, oh, no. It's finished. And she might bring out the stain. No, it's finished. You see, when Jesus Christ finished God's plan of salvation, it was complete. Nothing to be added. All we have to do is accept that special free gift. God has remained involved in your life. Next slide. Hey, Todd, when I do this, that means, okay. All right. We're getting signals here. You know, when I do this, that means, no. Okay, all right. Here we go. We think about God finishes what He starts. Now, this is important for us. God finishes. The counsel of the Lord God stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. So has God started something that He's not going to finish? Couldn't be. When God said He finished the creation of the world, folks, it was done. And how long is that? That's for all of eternity. If God starts something in your life, is He going to finish it? If God plants that seed of salvation in your heart, is He going to finish it? You better believe it. It is right there. God's plans right there. So God rested from His creation. And when it says God rested from His creation, as we read a while ago, think about this. He ceased from labor. Did God get tired? He did not. God is spirit, so He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get tired like Joy was yesterday, splitting up all that wood, okay? He doesn't get tired. But He rested. He ceased because it is finished. Scripture says, on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done. He rested on the seventh day with all of His work that He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because He rested from all the work which God had created and made. He rested. Hey, how many days did it take Him? 6 days. Was that 6 24-hour days? Was that 6 period of time? Well, that's 6 eras of time. When somebody says that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day, is that in the Scripture? That is in the Scripture. However, how long did it take God to create the heavens and the earth? 6 days. Now, you know, many people can believe what they want to, but I personally believe that it was 6 24-hour days. The evening and the morning was a day. Now, it wasn't just like what we do. We think about the day starting at midnight, but that's us. But God created it. And how do I, what's going to back that up? Okay, in the Ten Commandments, this is one of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, the Scripture says, "Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work." How many days? How many hours? I knew I threw you off, because some of us are going to say 4 times 8 is 32. I mean, 5 times 8 is 40. I'm going to quit at 40. Well, that may be your timing, but God said, 6 days I shall labor. But what did He say do on the seventh day? Rest. And I believe that. 2 o'clock is one of the most holy hours of the day. The toes go up and the eyelids go down. You know what? I love it. I love Sunday afternoon. It is so very special. But anyhow, here's the point though. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. How many days did it take Him? 6 days. Just like He told us to work 6 days, He created the world in 6 days. So therefore, I have perfect peace when I tell somebody God created. And look, when God spoke it, it came into existence. Was God tired? Nah. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." So does God get tired like Maria? No. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. It's unsearchable riches. How many prayers are going on at one time in the world? A lot. That's exactly right. I don't know how many. But you know what? God hears every one of them. Specifically, personally, He hears it. Does He ever get tired of us crying out to Him? Never. So, the earth. The earth continues now. We see as this history beginning to develop that God created the heavens and the earth, and over the earth there had not been rain. So how did He water the earth? The earth had this mist. Have you ever been out in the fog and kind of feel that watery presence on you? That was the mist. The Scripture says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. Hey, by the way, did y'all learn a little bit on which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which was it? That's right. Good. So now we can go on and tell people. The chicken came first and the egg was inside. Okay. All right. Anyhow, that was for free. But what we're seeing right here, before all of this, there was this great mist. For the Lord God had not caused the rain on the earth. There was no man to till the ground, but mist went up from the earth. And watered the whole face of the earth. And the Lord God formed the man out of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. God is putting these things together. Let's connect the dots. You see the mist? Okay? You see the world created? You with me now? You see this, what was not in existence came into existence. The non-visible became visible. And now, how does all these things work? Why am I to believe? Noah. Y'all remember Noah? Okay, Noah and the what? Yeah, Noah and the ark, Noah and the flood. Okay. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Had it ever rained? No, it had not rained. So see, how is there going to be a flood when there's no rain? But he believed, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of the household, which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Can you see that those things happening now? Because of this mist, you didn't have the flood, but then God later on would send the rain. So God planted a garden. The garden was the Garden of Eden. And he put this man. Now, how beautiful must that garden have been? Oh, it had to be gorgeous. The Lord God formed the man out of the ground and he planted him and he put him in this garden. And when he did this, it had to be beautiful. Now, God put him in there. Did he have the right to do that? Why did he have the right? He was God. He created the man and he created the woman, and God knew what was best for Adam and Eve. He put him in this garden. But he also put him in there because he loved them. How much more could God say, "I love you," than to put you in the garden with no mosquitoes, no thorns, no thistles, beautiful flowers, fruit, vegetables, it's all there. And then God said to Adam and Eve, said, "This is what I want you to do. Take care of it. Take care of it." Surely the Lord hath turned all things around in Isaiah 29:16. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? Or shall the thing made say of him who made it, "He did not make me"? Or shall the thing formed of him who formed it say, "He has no understanding"? By the way, how can people in intellectual positions say, "There is no God"? How can they say we are from a marsupial soup? Once I was a tadpole, beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey hanging from a tree. And now I am a professor with a PhD. Okay? How could that be? Listen, folks. The potter. He's the potter. I'm the clay. And let's don't say, "God, you didn't make me. God, you have no place in my life. God, you can't tell me what to do. God, you have no authority. I will do what I want to do, the way I want to do it, when I want to do it." And the only way that you can begin to think like that is to create a system where God's not in authority. And they call that religion evolution. God planted two special trees in the middle of the garden. There's going to be a tree that's going to be the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And there's going to be a tree, the tree of life. Now, what was that tree? Was it an apple tree? Pear tree? I don't know either. But what I do know, there was this whole huge, huge garden. They could eat of all of it. But he made two special trees. What are they? And out of the ground the Lord made of every tree that it's pleasant to the sight and good for. How many trees were pleasant to the sight in the garden? How many trees were good for fruit? How many trees were poisonous? Next slide. Did God make any tree poisonous? No. What about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Was it poisonous? No. Think about this fruit. You look upon all these trees. It's good for food. It's good for beauty. It's the source of life. Now, God is saying something very important to us. He's saying that, look, I am the source of life. Obey me. Worship me. Does God have your best interest in mind? When he tell you don't do something, it's because he just wanted to get at you? No! Is anybody in here old enough to remember the movie Father Knows Best? Yeah, okay, I know how old you guys are. You old. You real old. You're almost as old as Troy. So when we think about, but the Father does know what's best. But what he tells us is, you got to make a choice. God is the giver of life. God was in authority over Adam's life. God is the sustainer for life. And if you choose God's way, you choose life. Sometimes I wonder, why didn't Adam just run up to that tree and grab a bite and run? He was content. I mean, before this other tree. There's only two trees, and they knew what trees they were, but they had to make a decision. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely what? Do you believe that? Let's see. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, the tree of knowledge of good and evil made somebody independent of God. God knew what was best for you. What did God say? Don't eat this. God's the source of life. God knows what's right or wrong. Do you have to experience what's wrong so that you know what's right? You don't. See, God had already made some decisions. Did God make good decisions? Sure. God created Eve. And boy, was she a good one. Just ask Adam. You know, God made all these decisions, and every one of them was good. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, right and wrong, we must depend upon God and the Father. But if we choose that tree, something begins to happen. Where did the worship of evolution come from? Now, there are certain parts of evolution that you could go along with, okay? But I'm talking about the beginning of the human race. I'm talking about where did the world come from. I'm talking about who God is. I'm talking about this beautiful creation that God did in 6 days. All these beautiful things. You see, He's the source of life. God the Father is the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. And it's from Him we gather and capture that authority. It's from God. So we've already answered the question, was the fruit poisonous? The answer is no, because everything God made was how good? Very good. very good. But then, good and evil, God knows that. Do we want to know that? Depend on God for everything? Depend on God for direction? You see, the choice is a choice of faith. Who are we going to depend on? Because there's consequences for disobedience. You choose the wrong way and you get what the wrong way. That's what Adam and Eve chose. They chose the wrong way. And death is the punishment for disobedience. I think there's a killer in the midst of us. Look around. Do y'all see any killers in here? I think I see a killer over here. Are you a killer? Now do what you got to do. Remember what you're supposed to do. Killer. Doesn't he look the part? He looks neat. He looks sharp. 14 years. He's been a man of integrity. But today, he's a killer. Scripture says in Genesis 2:17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So are there consequences to the decision that you're making? The answer is absolutely there are consequences. Satan's going to come along and tell you, no. You're a killer. Y'all see what he did? What'd you do? Off of what?
A bush.
Off a bush. Was that bush alive? Was that bush giving you any problems?
Mm-hmm.
Had that bush ever done anything wrong to you?
No.
But what did you do?
Killed.
You killed it. Killed. It's dead. Does it look dead? Looks alive, doesn't it? Is it cut off from the source of life? Is it cut off from the water and the ground? Is it cut off from the bush? It's dead. But it doesn't even know it yet. Thank you, murderer. What is death? Death is separation. Do y'all see what happened? Separation. He separated it from the source. He separated it from the bush. And the moment that he separated it, it died. Separation physically? Yeah. You see, the consequences of disobedience to God and not honoring Him in faith, there is separation. The moment that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they died. They didn't look dead, did they? But they, ultimately, they were going to die. There's also separation. When we think about death, there's separation eternally for the soul of man. You see, the soul and the spirit are connected like this. But when a man rejects Jesus Christ, he is separated from the source. And who is the life? Christ is the life. And when a man is separated from the source, who is Christ, then there is death, and that death will last for eternity. The moment that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they disobeyed God. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they died spiritually. They died physically, and they died ultimately. consequences. Why did God have the authority to tell Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He made man, didn't he? Does the pot tell the potter what to do? No. He made him. He loved him. And God is wiser. God is wiser. Adam, this is best for you. So the thing is, believe or not believe? That really is the question. Do you believe or do you not believe? Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we are mindful that each one of us have to make choices. And with those choices, there are consequences. We thank you for the great love that God had for us to create us, to put us on this earth so that we could love one another, have fellowship with God. You provided our needs. You provide our needs. Help us to stay connected to the source. Father, if there's one that's not connected this day, I pray that person will recognize their sinful condition, will repent of their sins, tell God they're sorry, and that they no longer want to be separated from the source of life. And Father, we read in the Word this morning how that there was a woman who was a woman of the streets, but she came to Jesus and she was forgiven. And Father, there's not a person in this auditorium that you will not forgive if they come to you with a broken heart. Brokenness of repentance because of the bad decisions in which we have all made. Now, God, we pray for life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to share together a song this morning to give you an opportunity, some to be or come to life. Connect with the source. How do you connect with the source? Jesus came preaching good tidings about the kingdom of God. Jesus said, connect to the kingdom of God. Repent of your sins and connect to the kingdom. And you do that through Jesus Christ. He is the source of life. And if you do that this morning, He will give you life. Our deacons are going to come down. They're going to be sitting down front here and talk to you. If you have, you want to come and you want to talk more about coming to life in Christ, they're ready. They're willing to help you and talk with you. The prayer altars are going to be open. Maybe some need to come and get recharged up. Altar's a good place to do that. God made you with a purpose. Fulfill that purpose. Let's stand together. If you know the song, sing it. If not, just enjoy it. But let's stand.